listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 20th. What a great day it is. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
It is a great day, Michael. I'm glad to be here. It's great.
Well, welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. All right. So, we're going to begin this fine day with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so tonight we're going to have a more relaxed conversation. And I know that we do that from time to time, Dr. Hunter and I. But, you know, Dr. Hunter had the great idea of talking about these resets and collective energy shifts that occur. And I think we're going through one right now. And I know you were speaking on that right before the broadcast, actually.
You know, what is the statistic, Michael, where you only need 1% of an energy to start a flow or 10% to change consciousness in a group? I can't recall off the top of my head, but it doesn't take much to start a wave of energy. You know, a very small group doing a meditation can affect a wide area. Yeah. So that's what I mean by, you know, Dr. Stevens saying what's meant by a collective energy shift. That's what I'm meaning by a collective energy shift. You have, you know, today is a great day. I mean, the inauguration of President Biden and Vice President Harris today in the U.S., it collectively changes an energy, right? And very many people commenting today about how that's a reset. You know, it is that collective reset. It's, you know, where is that energy going to flow to now? It doesn't mean that there isn't residual of other energy. There isn't,
well,
you know, other
takes time
of things. However, it is how the energy is going to move, you know, and the more you focus on a particular energy, the more it moves. And again, then you get more people joining in. And meditations and worldwide meditations have proven that time and again. But even in, let's say, a collective energy of a city, we're talking about that consciousness or that culture. But when we talk energy, it's something else that flows. What really struck me today, and I did watch Cecilia saying she could feel that energy shift. Yeah, so could I. What really struck me today about watching the inauguration and other events is the diversity with one collective energy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one goal in mind. There's, you know, I know the word unity is used a lot, but unified in what? And that's for the common good. So no matter what religious background, what culture, color, it didn't matter, that there is this energy to improve and to progress. And that's a collective energy shift, certainly from where we've been.
Mm-hmm.
And so go ahead.
When you look at a society, at a group of people, and you take the actions of that entire group of millions and millions of people, they all feed collectively into the overall course our society takes, and we help shape it, and others do as well. But when we feel a shift like this, we can tell things are changing. And it's when you say collective, just like you were saying earlier, it's the actions of tens of millions of people all coming together to tilt things ever so slightly. And you had made mention of the idea of a percentage, and I don't know that either, and I wasn't able to find it quickly. But
Dr. Kelly could nail that right off the top of his head. I know.
I will have to ask him next week.
I believe it's in M2, I think, of the IMHS program. But
yeah. What am I thinking?
And you're right. It's just a matter of getting a momentum going.
Well, and that's right. Momentum, you know, it's things can start small, but then they grow, and they grow exponentially when you're talking about ideas sweeping through society. And I think that we are in a place where we're going to see some positive change. Or maybe I'm just trying to be hopeful and optimistic and project that out into the world.
Well, it's you know, people have been working on this for a long time. But, you know, to prove my point, if people are in a shopping center, and, you know, it can be an irritating kind of experience. It's not always pleasant. But you hear a child giggle, all the mood changes.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
True.
Absolutely.
You know, because that's joyful. And I don't care, you could be the most crotchety or whatever, and you're still going to bring a smile to your face. So that's why even in shopping centers, they're very careful about what music they play. It encourages you to be there and to shop and, you know, move. And so we're creating atmospheres and energy with a word that's so powerful, a sentence. Oh, my God, full sentences that make sense. I love that. And, you know, it's that energy that we're creating and what we're projecting from ourselves that becomes contagious. You know, it becomes infectious to others. So when we all feel defeated at times. We all feel, and look, these are really hard times, no question about
absolutely.
It, for a lot of people. But it only takes one to help change that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it only takes one moment in a day to change that energy. It only takes one kindness to change the energy, even your own mood. You know, we have a bad day. Michael, we've talked about that before. You know,
oh, yeah.
We have a bad day. One thought, one event, listening to some music changes that energy. And that creates that momentum. So Jean is mentioning in the chat that she says, I think we will see a positive change rather quickly. People I've spoken to have said there doesn't seem to have been as much tension in the air. I completely agree, Jean, and tension is a good word in this case to describe, you know, stress or negativity. And when that tension is lifted, you know, doing anything to release that tension creates a lighter energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is sorely needed.
Yeah.
I think that not only in the United States, but in many places in the world, there's been heightened tension. And even prior to the pandemic, there was heightened tension. There was, you know, going through change. We're going through that constant push and pull between a more globalized and interconnected society and those who are trying to cling to kind of the old, you know, an idea of a nation state and that kind of history as being, you know, isolated from others. You know, kind of the nationalist versus a more global idea. And that's going to create tension, and that has been creating tension. We've seen it in the United States. We've seen it in Europe with Brexit. We've seen it with really authoritarian leaders that are coming to power in many places, in Poland, Hungary, Turkey. We've seen it happen in the last decade.
Yeah.
And put all on, and on top of all of this, we have a pandemic that is once in a century, hopefully.
Yeah.
Mm. It has really tested a lot of our resolves, but we can come together. And I think, just like we're seeing in chat, like we've talked about, well, you've said very well, Dr. Hunter, we're kind of collectively going through this. We can all feel it. Things are changing for the better. Everything's a little bit less tense. We're more willing to come together in a true sense of unity, which doesn't mean we always have to agree about everything. It means that we tolerate and accept one another.
Well, you know, it's not a big secret that those of us here, you know, with metaphysical humanism, we're not necessarily, as you'd call, religious people in the context of dogmatic religion. However, we can be respectful of those who hold those views. The measure is, and honestly, Biden said it today, it's the measure of your heart. And I think that's where we're going right now, is that really connecting, because people are very needy right now. You mm-hmm. know, when there's so much difficulty, you need help, you need assistance, you need medical attention, you need to pay your rent, you need groceries. And in that need, how is it fulfilled? With acts from the heart. See? So it's not about what we believe in, it's what we know to be true. And to be true is about, and I know it's so cliche to say, it is about love. Mm-hmm. And it is about what kind of society we want to create, no matter our differences. Again, we go back to the principles of belief, do no harm, do right.
Mm-hmm.
As long as people are following that, it can't possibly be wrong. You know, it's just different.
And, you know, we have to accept that we live in a world with, there's literally an infinite amount of possible perspectives, especially when you think about the fact that over 100 billion of us have walked the earth, as far as we know, to the best estimates, throughout known human time on this earth. That's over 100 billion different perspectives, different unique takes on life, each utterly unique and independent of another. Some of them are very similar, but just the fact that you can have so many different perspectives on the same topic will bring different people to different conclusions. Add to that, behaviors and, people that are predisposed to certain ways, we're going to have a varying group of types of people. And I mean that based on personality, based on behaviors. No matter which ethnic group you're looking at, I think you kind of get a general mix of different personality types when it comes to the human being, the human animal. We exist in a lot of different ways, I think, because it takes a lot of different perspectives to make this whole thing work, to really excel as a society. The more ideas that you have access to, the more people thinking on a topic, the more perspectives you can pull from, you can really turn that into a huge advantage of being able to solve problems that you might not otherwise have been able to, because you couldn't see it, but somebody else could, and you can see something that they can't. So we work together despite our differences, and we accept each other and perhaps even treasure each other for our differences, as long as you do no harm and do right.
Michael, that's huge. It's just huge to be looking for options to solutions, you know, mm-hmm. to be looking for progressive ways and sharing ideas and not ridiculing anybody because, well, that didn't work for me, you know.
Right.
So, I want to make really clear to everybody listening and those in the archives later, we're not naive.
Well, I mean, maybe I am, but Dr. Hunter is not naive.
You're not naive, Michael. And I don't think any of our listeners are naive. We're not meaning to come across in a way that is dismissive of difficulties. that is in any way invalidating hardship. In fact, I think I like to believe we're doing the other. We are validating, but we are, if we don't have hope and you don't have solutions, then you're doomed. Then it's a sentence to Neverland.
Mm-hmm.
And but as a collective, and again, we're referring to those collective energies, depending on one another, you know, connecting with one another, we do lift each other up. And, you know, even if it's a smile on the street, you know, we talk a lot on this program about paying it forward and kindness, but it goes a long way, huge long way to doing that. But that doesn't mean we don't call it like it is, you know? I mean, if something's an outright lie, if something is misleading, manipulative, you know, selfishly strategic, I think we have to navigate around those energies.
Yeah.
If not, at times, call it for what it is and say, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, again, you know, Dr. Kelly's very clear, and, you know, we bring it out in our, you know, in our oracle cards every week about preference and principle. If we're standing by principle, we can move over for preference.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just left you hanging there, Michael.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. I couldn't say it better myself, and I think you should continue to fill airtime.
I think you did. You did do a good job. You know, well, I think what we'll do on this note is, anybody want cards, we're just going to dive right in. And, you know, we'll give a little more emphasis to everybody's cards tonight and the stories that they might have to tell. And see where you're all going. What is the message today for you in our collective? You know, we certainly do have a collective here, you know, in our mm-hmm. group. And those in the archives who can't always be here, you know, with us. And so, you know, there's it is interesting to me how there's very often a common thread that is our collective, Michael, that represents our collective.
Oh, there is. And, you know, I will say this. I've been on the in of the collective, and I've been on the out of the collective. It always is nicer to be on the in. But there are times where we all have to do what we feel is right, even if that goes against the collective.
Yeah.
You know, we feel like the energy shift is going in a good direction right now, but, you know, remember always that we have to be true to ourselves and our concept of ethics and right and wrong and doing right.
You know, even if it's something like, and I'm very sure many of you can relate to this, people want to socialize right now. And I say, no, I'm not. It's COVID. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we can get together. No, thank you. You know, it's like my landlord, I needed him to come over to the house, check something, and they just came back from a trip. And I texted him, I said, if you don't have a mask, I have extra medical masks. And thankfully, he was very considerate to wear a mask over. I was wearing a mask also,
mm-hmm.
because that is my conviction at this time. I'm taking extra precautions. I'm very conscientious. But we are going to run into people who are not in that mindset,
mm-hmm.
you know, for whatever reason. And they say, and they can get very pushy about, why don't you come over, you know, we'll have supper. No, thank you. Well, when are we going to do this? Well, we can have supper over Skype. Well, that's not the same. I know it is. And I'm really looking forward to the day we can do it.
Oh,
all
yeah.
things are temporary. So when you're standing by your principle, there's a way to do it. So I know that everybody here has had that moment where, you know, people well. Aren't of the same mind. And but saying it in a good way, and sometimes then putting it down firm, you have to. But if you do what you do, you know, if that's what you do.
And, you know, I have a feeling that there might be a few introverts out there that listen in. I know that I go through my introvert states, and, you know, in a lot of ways, it's been a really good, convenient way not to have to do anything.
All
we
right.
have a pandemic on. I can't go out. I have to stay in, watch some Netflix, and relax. What? I have to do that again? Oh, man. All right. Well, sorry, guys. I can't come out. I have to stay at home, watch some Netflix, and relax.
Actually, I really like it too.
That being said, I do, you know, I do miss my friends. I do miss my family. You know, I have my, you know, I guess, I've called her a goddaughter for lack of a better term, even though that once was upon a time a real thing when my friend was more religious. My best friend, his daughter, they live with me for years, and she is the closest thing I have to a daughter. She's like a niece. She's important to me. I've known her ever since she was a baby. I held her the first day she was alive. I've been friends with her father for such a long time. Yeah. And, you know, she's going to be 10 soon, and I really miss being able to, you know, spend time and catch up with how she's been doing with school and, you know, spend a little time around Christmas, giving her a gift and, you know, catching up on all the things that, you know, her father and stepmom are doing, good friends of mine who I haven't seen in months, and I miss them. And it does suck. Yeah. But we're going to get through this. It's not forever. And we do it because it's the right thing to do. Ah, jinx.
But Michael, let's get started with some cards. I know Dr. Edward, I think, is first up. So let's see what Edward's got in the cards tonight.
All right. Ah. Wild card number 4, Unknowable. Oh, sounds familiar.
My favorite. It really is.
It's a good one. All right. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind, and you change your world. Change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Edward, you've got some stuff going on. You really do, because I pulled the magician for you in support of unknowable. And what I mean by some stuff going on is some inner transformations and inner changes. And maybe you're not fully conscious of them yet, but if you're feeling a little restless, a little uncertain, edgy, you know, it's like there's something blooming, like something is changing inside of you. And my advice when going through something like that, and if you can relate to what I'm saying, is to roll with it. Observe every nuance of the shift. You're in a consciousness shift. But you are recreating your life. And it's, he says he's reading some self-help material. That's awesome. But that's, so that in support of that, Edward, is allow the metamorphosis to come without being forced. You know, going into an unknowable, when we try to force changes, that means we're also dependent on our frames of reference. And you can't depend on that when you're going through that kind of shift. So I'm going to suggest that you just roll with it and observe yourself and grow into it. I find that very exciting because you just don't know who you're going to evolve into tomorrow. That's exciting. Good for you.
All right. And I think yeah, that card did feel familiar. And Dr. Edward said it's an old friend. So I'm glad to see. All right. So next up we have Jamil. And Jamil, I have number 30, Greatness to Deliver. Let's see. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is required, but beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Well, Jamil, I pulled out the Emperor in support of greatness to deliver. That's a really powerful message in a way, in that it's, you're your own authority. You're the authoritarian. You're the boss of you. So when you come into that kind of power, if you will, just simply, how will you present that? So I'm going to suggest here that you're coming into a new time of maybe a supervisory position or management, or you're advancing yourself. And it's in that, what is the foundation of that that you're growing from, not just the goal that you obtain. So this is your shift and, you know, always checking in with yourself. So there is, and that's a prediction here, there's an evolution of advancement in your work and in your life. So good for you. Congratulations there.
Very nice. I like that.
All right. Yeah. All right. Wendy, I think, is next.
All right. Wendy, our tracker and statistician. I almost said that word correctly. All right, I'm shuffling. And I have number 7, self-mastery. Let's see.
Ooh, powerful cards tonight.
Yeah. And to anybody that is joining us that hasn't heard this before, the Inner Oracle cards were created by Dr. Doug Kelly, and with input from you, Dr. Hunter, with a lot of input, actually. I think you helped tremendously. Mm. And they're just to make you think, just to kind of hopefully trigger something, hopefully make you think about something going on in your life. And Wendy, I have number 7 for you. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness.
Whoa, Wendy, I pulled the Wheel of Fortune. So, everybody, that is 3 major arcana from the tarot that I pulled already. I'm going to talk to you in a sec, Wendy, but let me just acknowledge that the thread here, there's only 22 major arcana in the tarot deck, and I've already pulled 3 of them. No other minor arcana, just the major arcana. So there's an observation for our, you know, Wendy, who's our statistician. Statistician. See, I can't say Michael.
That's a tough one. Say that.
Okay,
best.
So the Wheel of Fortune with self-mastery is it's opportunity, taking risks. It's having all the elements in your favor. And where will you leap forward to next? This is really wonderful in that you have opportunity and insight, I want to say, Wendy. So who are you and how do you want to move forward? Taking chances, taking risks that are all in keeping with your energy flow. With your, you know, that saying, that cliche kind of saying, the adage that, you know, for your greater good, is continue on that flow of your greater good, being willing to take chances toward that. And don't let anything hinder you from your momentum, your progress. And, you know, as Michael mentioned earlier, sometimes, you know, the decisions we make aren't always in favor of others, but you're moving along what you know to be true for yourself. So this is self-mastery and the Wheel of Fortune. You got this. Absolutely.
Very good. Very good. And, all right, I believe we have Jean next.
Nice to have you here, Jean.
All right, let's see what I have. Ah, number 15, belief system and knowledge base.
Ah, good one.
Let's see. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
Oh, man, another major arcana. As soon as I turn this card, Jean, you're going to laugh. Because I happen to know Jean. I've known Jean for a long time. I'm glad she's here. I pulled the Lovers. Now, that is another major arcana. Really, it's symbolic of your passion, of your roots, your passion, your energy, that chi in you know, in it's a very familiar term to people. So what is your, you know, and looking at your belief system and your knowledge base and finding the passion of that and bringing that forward. I happen to know that Jean does that very well, in fact. But we're always in growth curves, all of us. We're always in these spurts and progressive movements. And this is calling on you, Jean, to tap into that energy and move forward with your passion in that, because this is a really good time for you coming up. And so if there's little things that don't fit in there, you just have to discard them. I happen to know also that Jean is in her devolution, which is an excellent time, those 52 days prior to the birthday, to discard things that don't work for you anymore. It is that time of releasing and letting go of that. So this is a really good affirmation for you, Jean, is tapping into that passion, dump what you don't need, and refortify and add new things into what you know to be true for you. Awesome.
Very nice. All right.
We have Monica next, I believe. Welcome, Monica.
Glad to have you with us. And let's see, Monica, I have number 25, Power of Belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
Another major arcana, everybody. So, something to note, Wendy, on our filing system there. A knight of all major arcana thus far. The Justice card, in support of the power of belief, is, well, justice is about fairness and equitability. It's about checking in with yourself and sticking to convictions. And again, what really strikes me is about the difference with, preference and principle here. Because justice looks for details. It looks for the fine print. It looks for anything that we might overlook as, you know, we can think of it as an opinion, but we need to go by more of a fact. So it's removing some of the subjectivity out of it, Monica. So in your power of belief, it's just asking of you, are these preferences to believe in, or is it more in keeping with who you are? And look for that fairness in your thinking and that deductive reasoning. And, it's just sometimes it's how we all reconnect thoughts for ourselves and say, oh, I didn't know that's related to this. Well, now that makes sense. I never thought about that before. So this could be a revision of, some of the things that you believe in, but also keeping anchored in your own power of belief. So, you know, being who you are. I like that.
Very important, too. Very nice.
You know, Michael, 5 for 5 major arcana, that's huge.
Well, you know, I think that goes right along with this kind of energy shift that we're looking at. And just a thought. I mean, I'm no expert when it comes to such things, but everything feels like it's going in a different direction, and I know we're not the only ones that feel that way.
That's right. I agree. Well, I sure feel it. I knew, at least my intuitive self knew, that it would take until after the inauguration, the 3rd, 4th week of January, before things would begin to calm in our collective, I don't want to even go so far as global energy. Now, does that mean there aren't other things going on? Absolutely there are. But Kind of all getting back in a more sensitive, sensible page, if you will. We can all have different politics, different beliefs, religions, and so on, like we mentioned, but the energy begins to shift. Now, in comparison, if we look, just look back how disjointed things have felt and how they haven't always made sense. And when we're, let's just take misinformation as an example, you can hear something, but it doesn't feel right. You know, something's not right with that. You can look at it intellectually and say, I'm hearing what you're saying, but it doesn't feel right. You know, and then you hear something else that's supposed to go with that, but it doesn't feel right. It's taking two completely separate thoughts, trying to make it one. It doesn't feel right. So very much of what's been going on for us is to inhibiting our intuition, inhibiting our spirit self. It inhibits our sensibilities, you know, and we have to work that much harder to be sensible. But what we are now is saying, oh, wait a minute, I don't have to work so hard. It doesn't feel like it's so disjointed. I can start to make a little bit better sense of this and a sense of my world, if you will. So we don't get 20 different so-called professional opinions on one thing. Now, people would argue with me to say, well, how do you know what you're believing isn't a lie? Mm-hmm. Well, it would go against my intuition. See?
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's also, if you're capable of the critical thought needed to examine yourself and ask, is what I'm putting my faith and my belief in, is it a lie or is it something true? How do I know? Well, that in and of itself is an indication that you likely have the critical thinking ability to navigate such things. But, you know, I think trust but verify is a great thing. And when we have compelling reasons for beliefs, that's all I was going to add to that.
Well, I always go by my feelings, and I like to figure it out. Certainly, I like to, as Dr. Kelly would often, you know, state that we give benefit of the doubt until it's shown not to be worthy of that, which very well may be true. But if I get a squirmy feeling, if I get a, something's not right with that, then, you know, because I trust myself and I know myself. I'm not trying to embellish. I'm not trying to cause trouble. I'm not trying to be negative or an antagonist, you know, contrary. I want to be good. I want to stay inside my body. I want to be sensible. I want all those parts of myself balanced. I don't want to be over emotional. I want to be sensitive and know my humanity. But I also want to trust my gut. I want to trust my intuition. And generally, that's correct.
Yeah.
Your first feeling is the right one. Now, very often there's things in the way, you know, Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Blink. I think I've mentioned it in the program before. He does a wonderful job of explaining why we don't trust that first blink. That first impression. I highly recommend it. It's quite old now. It's been out for quite a number of years. But we all have that. We just have these other prejudices in the way of reading our intuition correctly. So I try to be careful about that. So what I generally go with is I wait for the feeling to come up again and again. Generally, it's 3 or 4 times. And I say, no, I feel I'm pretty right about this. There's something not right. There's something not right about this individual. There's something not right about the information. Or, you know, I feel that that information's okay, but they're going to learn more. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So it's being open-minded to not being black or white or yes or no or this or that. It's really about something's amiss. And I'm okay with something amiss and not knowing what that is until I have more information.
Absolutely. Because, well, and I think that your intuition, your instinct, all that is what we call the kind of underlying undercurrent of our consciousness. I wouldn't necessarily say a subconscious per se, but it's the culmination. It's the, you know, the fact that we are more than the sum of our parts. It's that everything in your history, in your past, all the lessons you've learned, everything's kind of feeding into your instinct in a way that you can't always verbalize immediately, or you don't quite know, but something about the body language, something about the vibe, the energy that they're putting out, it is triggering these different reflexes that you've recognized in the past. And I think with, you know, if we're going to talk about reincarnation, then there can be many, several past lifetimes that all build into this inherent knowledge and wisdom that kind of feeds into that intuition. It's the sum of our experiences and lessons. And I think it's amazing how the human mind can be so complicated and work. But.
Very well put, Michael. Very well put. And that's a huge consideration of the human mind. It's extraordinary data machine, you know. So, right now we're on a new collective, a new energy, and I love that. Let's take the ride, everybody. Reach out if you need help.
Absolutely.
Reach out. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor. I know it sucks to suck up your pride, you know, but everybody is in this together. Nobody is alone. I'm the first one to say I don't like asking for help. I'm very independent. I like to do it myself. But, you know, even the other day, I almost called my daughter to help me move some furniture. I can't believe that, you know, I'm getting to that point where I can't just, you know, fling a couch around. It just sucks.
I think I'm at the point where I can't fling a couch around. Jeez, doing something wrong.
But it means that if you need some help, you need that. This is part of learning the other side. What really comes to mind right now is Ram Dass. Nearing his end days, bless his heart, he talked about being at this time of learning to be humble, that humility where people had to take care of him. You know, his health was failing. He had to have everything done for him. And what he learned about his spirit and the human condition through that process, it's really quite remarkable. If you ever get to look it up, it's great interviews on YouTube about it also. But that's what we're learning, is to get off our high horses and be in this together. You know, we're not individual, one and separate from each other. You know, we're individuals who are in a collective. And we're joining now in this new collective wave. Yeah. And the way to overcome is together.
This is true.
It sounds so cliche, but it is very, very true.
I mean, and I think, you know, some horses are higher than others. And sometimes it can be a real long way down off that high horse. And it can hurt when you get there. But it's always best because we have to, you know, we're all just human beings trying to make it through the world. And, you know, I joke, but, you know, I can get on my high horse and feel righteous indignation and, you know, feel this sense of, you know, moral and ethical superiority. And I have to, I mean, remind myself that I am not the moral authority. I'm just trying to figure out life as best I can, just like everybody else. I think if we can have and bring rational arguments to our, when it comes to like ethics and right and wrong, and we can say, we can point, this is wrong because of X, Y, and Z. And we have to, of course, agree on a baseline of, you know, individual rights, or that suffering should be limited whenever possible and things like that. But, you know, that's what I was saying earlier was more to the idea of, you know, I've always said to be cautious in what you believe, because a lot of people have been led astray. You know, there are people that to this day believe fervently in some cults that have, you know, been thoroughly disproven and, you know, shown to be shams. The Nexium cult is something that's been in the news recently because its leader was put in jail, and he still has adherents that are dancing outside prison. So, you know, just because you believe very strongly in something doesn't mean you're right. Doesn't mean you're wrong either. And sometimes we just have to be true to our convictions, but also be of a mind that it's possible we're wrong, so we have to be open to new knowledge, new facts, to keep our mind open to the possibility that we could be wrong. And if you have the critical capability to do that, then I think that we're going to be okay in this world.
Oh, Michael, I wished I would have talked to you before my last couple of husbands. Hey, listen, Wendy just said, I don't have a high horse. I'm not even sure how people get those. That's funny. You know, you mentioned the word reincarnation, and it triggered in me that I think that might be a good topic for next week.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think we have it set in stone.
All right.
We're doing
it. Sounds good.
Well,
you know, this has been a good topic for today, and especially in light of today. We are pushing a reset button. I feel like this is actually New Year's instead of, you know, a few weeks ago. So I'm pumped. You know, I know this is going to be hard times ahead. I get it. But I am way more hopeful, and I'm energized. That's good.
Yeah, it's going around, you know, I think it's catching on, and we need it as in the world over. I know that, you know, there are a few countries that have been quite as bad as the United States when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic, but it's been affecting every continent. It affected researchers on Antarctica to bring it all together. So, you know, fun times, but we're all going to get through this, you know, we will together. With each other by relying on one another. That's what we're here for. So thank you everybody for joining us. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. I always appreciate being able to talk to you.
Thank you, Mike. And thanks to everybody in the chat who participated and all those listening in the archives.
Yes, thank you too. And we look forward to having you join us next week for a great conversation about reincarnation. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.